Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now on to the episode. Welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Francesca. Today, I want to talk about something that sits right at the center of so many symptoms that women experience in their 40s, and that's cortisol. Cortisol has become one of those words that gets thrown around a lot online, and so many more people are talking about it. People will say things like, my cortisol must be really high, I'm running on high cortisol, my adrenals are burnt out, or cortisol is destroying their hormones. And while stress absolutely does affect our hormones, I think it's really important that we actually understand what cortisol is, what it does, and how it interacts with the rest of your physiology. Because cortisol isn't a villain. In fact, it's one of the most important hormones, one of the hormones that keeps us alive. So today I want to talk through what it actually does, why stress suddenly can feel different as we move through our 40s, the pattern that cortisol should follow across the day, the difference between high and low cortisol, and how it interacts with things like progesterone, thyroid health, digestion, blood sugar, and why women can feel much more vulnerable to thyroid issues and digestive issues as we move through our 40s as well, and what actually helps to bring cortisol rhythms back into balance, which hopefully you'll understand what I mean by that when we get to the end. And I'm hoping to explain it all in a way that you can really understand, because understanding this physiology can be really reassuring and empowering. So one of the things I hear all the time from women in their 40s is that they feel like something's shifted, but they can't quite explain what it is or how it's shifted. They just start to feel like something's changed. Or I hear, and I resonate with this myself, I'm there, you just don't quite feel like yourself anymore, or just something's changed. And some of the common sort of symptoms or experiences that you might resonate with are feeling overwhelmed by things that maybe never bothered you before, irritability or anger that feels out of character, or completely new, anxiety that seems to appear out of nowhere, waking up between sort of 1 and 4 in the morning with a racing mind and can't get back to sleep, feeling tired but wired, particularly at night. You're absolutely exhausted, but you're also really wired, and poor sleep, puffy face or puffiness around the ankles, fat gain around the belly, shedding hair, feeling inflamed or achy, and a reduced resilience to stress. So when women start to experience these sorts of symptoms as they move through their 40s, especially if they're really new, they can often start to think, what's wrong with me? I'm falling apart. But very often, what we're looking at here is a shift in cortisol regulation and nervous system sensitivity. And perimenopause is one of the biggest times in a woman's life where this all becomes more noticeable. It really comes to the forefront. The change in our hormones in perimenopause really does shift cortisol regulation and nervous system sensitivity. And that's what brings about a lot of these symptoms and experiences. But before we go further, let's just talk about what cortisol is. So it's a stress hormone released by your adrenal glands, but it's also much more than that. Cortisol helps to wake us up in the morning. It helps to regulate blood sugar. It helps to control inflammation in the body. It supports immune function. It gives us energy. It regulates blood pressure. And it helps the body to respond to physical and emotional stress. So it isn't bad at all. But what matters is how much you produce and when you produce it. And your body is designed to produce cortisol in a daily rhythm. We call it a diurnal pattern, a daily pattern. Ideally, it should peak in the morning when we wake up, and then it should gradually decline throughout the day and until it's like at its lowest at night, where we then can sleep deeply. And in replace of low cortisol at night, we get a production of melatonin, our sleep hormone. But the two can't be there simultaneously. It's like a seesaw. So when cortisol goes down, melatonin comes up. So that's what should happen. But chronic stress, poor sleep, blood sugar swings, inflammation, hormonal changes, perimenopause, they can start to disrupt this ideal rhythm of cortisol. And that's when symptoms start appearing. And one of the biggest reasons that cortisol becomes more noticeable in your 40s is because progesterone changes. So this is the first thing that starts to shift as a woman first moves into perimenopause. So the early perimenopause phase is this decline in progesterone, the estrogen roller coaster, and then that decline in estrogen. The decline in estrogen comes later, the roller coaster comes quite early, but that decline in progesterone is really starting like early 40s, even late 30s for some. Progesterone is a calming hormone. It supports sleep, nervous system stability. So it helps your nervous system to feel stable and safe. It enhances GABA activity in the brain, which is a calming neurotransmitter, and it supports emotional resilience. So when we have healthy levels of progesterone, it almost acts like a natural anti-anxiety buffer in the body and the brain. But during perimenopause, where ovulation now starts to become less consistent, we're not as easily achieving it every month like we were before, or we are achieving it, but not having this robust production of progesterone like we used to, then progesterone starts to decline because we only make progesterone as a result of ovulation. So then that means your nervous system loses some of that calming support, and it can feel quite sudden. It can be quite a sudden loss of this nervous system support. So suddenly that same stress that felt manageable like 5 years ago, or even 2 years ago, 1 year ago, can now feel really overwhelming. So women often say, I can't handle stress like I used to. And they can feel like it's a weakness. It's really common to just think, what's wrong with me? Why, you know, why has it come to this? Why am I feeling like this? Why can't I just get my shit together? But it's not a weakness, it's physiology. And at the same time, estrogen's now starting to become more erratic. So we're getting this decline in progesterone, that nervous system stability hormone, and we're also getting this erratic nature of estrogen. And estrogen influences brain chemicals like serotonin and dopamine and just brain signaling generally. So when it rises and falls unpredictably, the brain can become more reactive to stress, more sensitive to stress. So what you end up with is a nervous system that becomes more sensitive and more easily activated. And your nervous system has one primary job. It's to determine whether you're safe or whether you're not safe. And it's constantly scanning your environment, looking for that information. It scans your relationships, your workload, your finances, your sleep, your physical health, your emotional stress, your social support, even your own thoughts, your sort of belief system. If the brain perceives threat, whether it's a genuine, you know, threat to your life or perceived stress, for example, you know, worrying about paying the mortgage next month when you don't even know yet whether that's going to be a problem, that's like more of a perceived threat, but the brain is still going to pick up on this as a threat, it then activates the stress response. So that means cortisol increases, the brain will tell the adrenal glands to produce cortisol. So cortisol increases, adrenaline increases for the same reason, blood sugar rises in response to this stressor to help you run away from it or, you know, fight or flee it. Digestion slows down because you definitely don't need that when you're trying to fight or flee a threat. Reproductive hormones and ovulation become less of a priority because you definitely don't need that either when you're trying to run. And thyroid signaling starts to reduce. So the production of your thyroid hormone basically can start to slow down. And it's in this way that chronic stress affects so many different systems in the body, because stress physiology touches literally everything. And another thing that often confuses people is the idea of high cortisol versus low cortisol. So what happens is after periods of long-term stress, people often move through different patterns of cortisol. So initially you might see higher cortisol levels, and that can feel like wired but exhausted, that tired but wired feeling, particularly at night, anxiety, racing thoughts, difficulty relaxing, waking at night, increases in belly fat, irritability, feeling constantly on edge, or heightened, that sort of sense of heightened vigilance. But after prolonged stress, the brain soon starts to reduce its cortisol production. And that's when people experience symptoms like fatigue, low motivation, burnout, dizziness, poor stress tolerance, feeling like there's nothing left in the tank. And that pattern is called HPA axis dysregulation. It used to be referred to as adrenal fatigue, thinking that the adrenal glands literally become fatigued and they stop pumping out your hormones. That's not the case. It is this situation of HPA axis dysregulation. And it refers to the communication pathway between the hypothalamus in the brain, the pituitary in the brain, to the adrenal glands, which are two tiny little glands that sit at the back on top of our kidneys. They are the glands that release our stress hormones. So it's the brain to adrenal communication pathway. So it's not that the adrenal glands suddenly fail or become fatigued. It's just that communication signal between the brain and the adrenals becomes dysregulated. They're not understanding each other properly anymore. So for example, in my private practice with clients, I use a 4-point cortisol test known as an adrenal stress index or the Dutch test. And it's done with saliva. You take a sample from your saliva at 4 different points over a 24-hour period. And that can give us a clearer picture of what your daily rhythm actually is. We can guess by people's symptoms, of course. And so if they can't do the testing, they don't want to, then, you know, we can still work together anyway, because we're looking at symptoms and then we know what to do to help you solve these symptoms. And if those things work, then yeah, we got it. Something else that's really important to understand is that cortisol patterns are not always simply high or low. There's not this person has high cortisol, this person has low cortisol. It can be that way, but many women going through their 40s through perimenopause, we're experiencing both at the same time. And that's because what's often happening is not just this high cortisol, low cortisol situation, it's this disrupted cortisol rhythm. So your body is designed to produce cortisol, as I said, in this very specific daily pattern. So it should rise sharply in the morning when we wake up. And that's known as the cortisol awakening response. Within sort of half an hour of waking, we should have this nice sharp rise in cortisol. Then it should stay steady throughout the morning and kind of be steady and kind of high around midday. And then it should start to gradually decline through the afternoon and then become very low at night, like I said. So we can sleep deeply and have melatonin there instead. But after years of chronic stress, that rhythm can become distorted. So what I often see in practice, what I have seen in practice over the years, is women that have had relatively high cortisol output for so many years, maybe decades. So from work stress, busy lives, under-eating, over-exercising, poor sleep, financial pressure, caregiving, just doing all the things and not, you know, just studying, working, having kids, all these things all at once, trying to, constantly produce and achieve. And eventually the brain and the adrenal glands start to lose that clear communication with each other. And that's this concept, as I said, of HPA axis dysregulation. The signaling pathway becomes disrupted and cortisol may start to be released at the wrong times of day. So it, like I said, it's not necessarily that the person has low levels overall of cortisol, but more that they're experiencing low cortisol in the morning, which makes it very hard to wake up and feel motivated for the day ahead. You could feel quite sluggish upon waking. But then they'll have higher cortisol in the evening. You know, these two, this is the opposite, the inverse direction that we want it to be. So higher cortisol in the evening, which then makes it difficult to switch off and sleep. And we can't, like I said, make melatonin in the presence of high cortisol at night. And that's what creates that classic feeling of being exhausted but wired. So you'll wake up feeling like you could sleep for another 3 hours every morning, but by 10 o'clock at night, your brain just suddenly feels wide awake, but you're exhausted. And this is a really common pattern in perimenopause. And it's why we really need to, in perimenopause, sort of start to treat ourselves like children again, you know, when it comes to that wind down routine in the evening that we need. We want to discourage the production of cortisol at night. We want to tell the brain we're fine, we're safe, we're calm. It's time to wind down. Cortisol can go down, melatonin come up. Because in order for us to have a good quality night's sleep and stay asleep, particularly between the hours of sort of 1 and 4 a.m., we need to have this robust amount of melatonin to keep us asleep all night. And we just can't get that level of melatonin if there's high cortisol at night. And we can do things with our evening habits that can help to encourage melatonin production. So when cortisol's elevated, so that's like particularly in the earlier in that stress response. So where I said I, in practice over the years, I've seen women who, I know this applies to me too, who had many, many years of running on cortisol, cortisol genuinely being high. And then there's only so long that your body can run on that. And then eventually this HPA axis dysregulation kicks in. And now it's all dysregulated. So yeah, we could test our cortisol levels and find that it's a dysregulated pattern. And we also have genuinely low levels. We might also find that we have a disrupted pattern, but we have normal levels of cortisol or high. Either way, after a certain number of years, at this certain, you know, time frame of having high cortisol, constantly high, we end up in the situation with dysregulated pattern, whether our cortisol is low, high, normal. It's the dysregulated pattern that we really want to address. So the earlier sort of stress response in a woman where cortisol is really high is where they would be feeling tired but wired, restless, anxiety, irritability, waking at night, as I said, with racing thoughts, blood sugar swings, just real difficulty relaxing. They might feel it inflamed or achy. But where stress has been going on for a long, long time, and now somebody starts to shift into a more lower cortisol pattern and a dysregulated daily pattern, particularly in the morning, so that low cortisol in the morning, that starts to look like waking up feeling exhausted, like I said, like sluggish, just can't move, really low motivation in the morning, feeling flat or depleted. And that poor stress tolerance, maybe dizziness when standing. This is definitely something that happened to me about 10 years ago. I went through a phase where one morning I just woke up, got out of bed and just fell on the floor. I was just so dizzy from getting up that I just fell on the floor. I thought I'd fainted. I hadn't quite fainted, but I was just so, so dizzy. So it's quite common to experience that from sitting down to standing up. If you feel dizzy, that can be a sign of low cortisol, particularly in the morning. Women can start to feel like they need caffeine just to function, just to get their brain into gear. And they might feel like their resilience has just disappeared. I hear women often say things like, I used to be able to handle everything, and now even just the small things overwhelm me. And I definitely resonate. You know, I'm talking about the women that I see in my practice, but I'm 46, moving through perimenopause with you all. And I'm experiencing this, you know, myself. There's some evenings in the week where I'm washing up the dishes and I'm feeling so overwhelmed by washing dishes. Sometimes, luckily, my partner, he's so supportive and he'll notice it, he picks up on it and he'll just come over and say, I'll finish this. Luckily, he gets, you know, the physiology that we're going through at this time in life. And I just need to walk away. And just the smallest things can just be so overwhelming, like hanging out the socks or taking the socks down and pairing them and putting them into the, you know, into the drawers. That can just feel so overwhelming that I can just leave it for like days and days and days. Whereas in the past, I was just quite good at getting on with this sort of stuff. So the tiniest little things can start to feel overwhelming. So if that is you, you know, you're not alone. It's very common. Where things also get really interesting with cortisol, HPA axis dysregulation, is that it doesn't just affect your energy or your sleep or your stress resilience or blood sugar regulation. It also starts to influence other hormones in the body, particularly progesterone, thyroid hormone production, and even digestion. So it starts to impact other systems. So because cortisol and thyroid function are so closely connected, the thyroid is responsible for regulating our metabolism. It's regulating our energy, our cellular activity in the body. So kind of revving our engine up. But thyroid hormones don't work alone. They rely on signals from other systems, including cortisol signaling. So if cortisol is chronically elevated, chronically dysregulated, it can start to reduce conversion of the thyroid hormone that we pump out of our thyroid gland into its active thyroid hormone known as T3. So it starts to reduce the conversion of T4 into T3. And T3 is the thyroid hormone that we need in the body to support metabolism and our entire engine. The HPA axis dysregulation can also start to increase something known as reverse T3. So this is like, as it says, it's like the reverse action of the active T3, the active thyroid hormone. It's a hormone that's reversing the action of it. So it's like slowing everything down and basically resulting in the symptoms of hypo underactive thyroid thyroid. And at the same time, if cortisol becomes genuinely too low, as well as dysregulated, the body might struggle to tolerate thyroid hormone properly. So cortisol imbalances can start to mimic or worsen thyroid symptoms. And that's particularly relevant for women because women are 5 to 8 times more likely than men to develop thyroid disorders, particularly underactive slowing down of our thyroid, and also autoimmune thyroid conditions like Hashimoto's that can become common in our 40s. And I've done a separate episode on that quite a while back, which I can link to. And stress is considered one of the potential triggers for autoimmune activity in susceptible people, autoimmunity, not just against the thyroid gland, but also like rheumatoid arthritis, for example. If we have any family history of autoimmunity, or, you know, whether knowingly or unknowingly, it can be, our 40s can be a time where autoimmune triggers or an existing condition starts to flare. Another system that cortisol strongly influences is digestion. So when your body perceives stress, it prioritizes survival over digestion. So I said earlier, you know, you don't need to digest your food when you're running from a tiger or fighting it, at the tiger being, you know, finances or a dysfunctional relationship or a job you hate, worrying about parents or children. So the body can start to reduce stomach acid. So we need stomach acid produced while we, just before we eat, in order for us to start to break down our foods. It can slow digestive enzyme production, which helps to break down our foods even more. It can alter the gut motility. So it's very common to start experiencing things like acid reflux in perimenopause, and it can start to change the microbiome balance, that good and bad bacteria that's living in our gut. It can start to change the diversity and the amount. And that then has another impact on the gut, you know, digestive system as a whole, contributing to system symptoms like bloating, again, acid reflux, sluggish digestion, IBS type symptoms, so alternating between constipation and diarrhea. It has a huge, huge impact. So just what our brain is perceiving around us has this massive impact on the strength of our gut and the symptoms that are going on. So I always know that my nervous system is dysregulated. In the morning, I'll usually have a really good quality, you know, fully formed bowel movement. And when I go through phases of looser stools in the morning, I can always link it back to nervous system dysregulation because of XYZ going on at the moment. It's so strongly linked. And then over time, that poor digestion can start to affect nutrient absorption. So nutrients that support the nervous system, you know, the B vitamins, magnesium, iron, these are really important nutrients to support our body as a whole, but also to support the nervous system and hormone production, and they can start to deplete. So again, everything becomes interconnected. Now, the goal is not to eliminate stress, because that's impossible. The goal is to increase your capacity and your resilience so that your body can handle stress more effectively, basically, that you can become more resilient to it. So some of the most powerful things that support cortisol regulation, because essentially they're supporting nervous system regulation, they're supporting the safety messages that we send our brain. And as a knock-on impact, that's going to support cortisol regulation. So really simple things like getting morning daylight, getting out into the daylight within 30 to 40 minutes maximum of waking up in any way that you can, whether you've got a place you can step out onto at home, a garden, a patio, balcony, a yard, anything. If you can't, could you go out like first thing? If you're somebody who works from home or has a flexible, you know, schedule, could you just go out for a walk first thing in the morning before you then come back and get ready for your day? You could use a 10,000 lux light box on in the winter. So these are easy, you can get these on Amazon for about 30 quid. You just switch it on in the morning and it mimics that natural daylight for us. Have it on for about half an hour and then try and get outside when you can. That morning daylight is so powerful. It makes such a difference. Having a consistent sleep and wake time, trying to go to bed at the same time with, you know, give or take half an hour or so every night, 7 days a week, having enough protein with every meal, particularly breakfast, and eating breakfast within an hour of waking is a really, really powerful way, an important way to stabilize your blood sugar levels for the rest of the day, for the day ahead. And one of the biggest mistakes so many women are making in their 40s is not having their first meal until 10, 11 o'clock, just waiting too long. And at that point, you know, blood sugar is now dipping low and your brain is perceiving a stress. It's like, where's the food? Where's the stabilization? Something's wrong. If we can get in there before that happens, so ideally within an hour of waking, with about 30 grams of protein in our breakfast, That makes a huge, huge difference. My clients, when they first, in our first session, the number one most important helpful thing that they do is they start to have 30 grams of protein within an hour of waking. They don't change anything else. And they say within a week, oh my goodness, the difference is insane. Like, I get messages all the time just saying, I suddenly feel so much more stable. My mood is stable. And not only like in the morning, they're noticing this more so in the rest of the day overall. So they're reflecting 4 days later and saying, wow, I've not felt anxious, irritable, annoyed all week. And my energy's felt more stable and I'm sleeping better. Just because they're putting this 30 grams of protein in within an hour of waking. It's so powerful. Gentle movement, you know, all the way through your day, not just going to the gym for 1 hour a few days a week and then being sedentary. Regular gentle movement, whether it's walking, a little bit of yoga, and if you're working from home, if you're working in an office, just standing up every hour from your desk, going for a walk around the block or walk to the toilet or the kitchen, coming back and sitting down, and just making sure you're actively doing that every hour as opposed to every 2 to 3 hours. If you're working from home, you could stand up and do 5 to 10 squats, sit back down again. If you have a garden, could you just go outside, do a few laps, sit back down again? You could do some jumping jacks. If you have a mini trampoline, which is something that I now have at home and I keep it next to my desk, and it's just so brilliant. I just jump on it every sort of hour or so, and I can feel every, you know, my cells waking up and the lymph moving around my body. And I just feel so invigorated even just after 30 seconds. So something like that can be really helpful. You don't have to have the rebounder trampoline. You can just do jumping jacks. You could march on the spot. You could run on the spot. Strength training, 2 to 3 times a week. Research has shown that even 2 30-minute weightlifting sessions per week for women has been shown to support muscle mass, improve insulin sensitivity, helping to stabilize blood sugar stabilization. And all of that will have a knock-on impact to the stress, your stress response, and your nervous system regulation. Reducing late night stimulation is so, so key. Like I said earlier, we almost need to start treating ourselves like children again when it comes to our nighttime routine. You wouldn't have your kids staying up late at night on their devices and then just throw them into bed and expect them, you know, good night, expect them to fall asleep. You give them a wind down routine when they're young. You have dim lights. You might have relaxing music. You might have meditation music. You might have little stars in their rooms, you know, just stuff that you're actively using to calm them. And then you might read to them and then they'll gently fall asleep and then you'll leave the room. That's what we need to do to ourselves. Dim lighting, calm music. I put some meditation music on when I finish watching TV and I want to start getting ready for bed. I've already washed my face and moisturized my face and everything earlier in the evening. But then when I go into the bathroom afterwards before bed to brush my teeth, floss my teeth, I'll always have meditation music on. I might sort a few things, maybe put some laundry away, but it's all in really dim lighting or even in darkness if I can. And then I'll go into bed and with a really dim light, I use one of those salt lamps and I read my book for a bit. And before I know it, I'm out. But when I don't do that, if there's any reason that I can't do that, like maybe we've been out and we just come home and we've been in bright lights and it's late enough that I want to go to bed, so I sort of go straight to bed from stimulation, I just don't sleep well. It's a rubbish night's sleep. Whereas, you know, in my 20s and my 30s, that was fine. I didn't have rubbish sleep after things like that. So we just, our resilience, our sensitivity to these things does change in our 40s, but we just need to honor it and know how to support it. Spending as much time as we can outdoors, like even in the winter. I know luckily now we're coming into spring, but as much daylight, natural daylight that we can get, being outside has been shown to be really helpful for mood, anxiety, energy, and again, telling the body that we're safe and calming that stress response. Having connection with other people, experiencing moments of joy and play. So this is something I have to keep trying to remind myself. Have more fun, have more play. Like, what did you enjoy as a child that, of course, we don't do anymore, we're adults, but how can we bring those things back in? Connection with friends, connection with loved ones, people that make you laugh, people that bring out the best in you. You know, obviously we want to try and avoid those energy vampires and people that just don't bring out the best in you. So those kind of things are really powerful. They might sound small, but they send powerful signals to your nervous system that you're safe. And safety is the foundation for hormone regulation, I really promise you. And if there's one thing that I want you to take away from this episode, it's that no matter what you're experiencing and how you're, how things are showing up for you as you're moving through your 40s, your body isn't failing you. Your physiology hasn't broken down. Your body is simply trying to adapt to stress and hormonal change. Hormonal change is stress. It's a stressor. Cortisol isn't wrong. It's not the enemy. It's simply a signal. So when we support the nervous system, when we support sleep, good nutrition, hormonal regulation, those cortisol rhythms, that HPA axis regulation can start to come back and those cortisol rhythms start to regulate naturally. But we do need to intervene with some of these habits. I have talked in previous episodes about certain nutrients that we can use to support the stress response and herbs like adaptogenic herbs, like ashwagandha and some other things. So I can link to that episode because those can be really helpful as well. But this episode was really all about the kind of practical lifestyle things that we can be doing to support ourselves and just really for you to understand what's going on. Because like I said earlier, that's where the reassuring piece comes in, is when we actually understand what's happening. These small daily changes that really make a profound difference over time. It's that kind of compound effect. If you've been feeling more overwhelmed, more anxious, more tired or wired, or just less resilient lately, please, again, know that you're not alone. This is so, so common. I am right there with you. And just more importantly, understand that there's very real physiological reasons for what you're experiencing. You're not broken. And that means, of course, that there's very real ways to support your body through it. So I hope that's what you've got from today. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, come and join me inside the Midlife Thrive membership. It's where I share my best resources, deeper education and coaching support to help you navigate perimenopause and beyond with clarity and confidence. Head to francescaliparotti.com/midlife-thrive-membership or check the link in the show notes, and I'll look forward to welcoming you into the community.